Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Today I want to talk to you about prayer power. Number one, every moment of prayer adds to the momentum of a promise. This was realized when the bold-speaking prophet Elijah excoriated the land of false prophets. Then he prophetically pronounced to a slow-footed king, Ahab, that it was going to rain. There were no evidentiary clouds to prove his proclamation. There were no rumblings of thunder to undeniably accompany his confidence. He simply said it before anyone saw it. He knew it was coming. God had told him it would take place. So rain was eventual. But even with the assurance of God's word and the divine forecast of downpours to come, Elijah went to the top of the mountain, placed his face between his knees, pressed his face in the dirt, and prayed. He prayed the promise into fulfillment. So, my friend, when you get a promise from the Lord, don't just sit back and wait for it to take place. Begin to pray. Begin to add faith to the daily process of that promise coming to pass. Something else we understand about prayer is that I believe prayer time directly affects trial time. Think about it. Some trials, not all, are the results of temptation. We give in to some sinful appetite, and the filling of that appetite leads to a destructive sin sickness, feverish fallacies, nauseating pride. But Jesus said, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." We can shorten the trial by staying out of the danger zone, bypass the bitterness of defeat by taking the consecration route, walk the prayer walk, avoid the pitfalls, avoid the miseries of bad choices, avoid the heartbreaks and hatred, avoid the inner turmoil which comes with shame, avoid the guilt and the disgraces of life. Oh, my friend, you can push the clock back. You can stop that second hand of suffering if you begin to seek the Lord and humble yourself before God today. The third thing I want to touch on is how lonely moments can come after the greatest victories, like a heartbeat. It's a deep valley after the peak, but take joy because another peak is coming. You see, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Proverbially, we say that life has its ups and downs, its good days and bad days, sunrises and sunsets. So you learn over time to smile in the storm and be humble in the successes. Oh, Elijah was greatly used of God to authoritatively stop the rain in 1 Kings 17. But then he ended up discouragingly alone on the craggy banks of Cherith, needing ravens to bring him daily bread. But soon he would be back in the soul-stirring spotlight, challenging hundreds of false prophets to a revelation of true deity and sovereign power. So you may go from loneliness to loveliness in a matter of moments. Don't base your importance to God on your surroundings or your successes, but most endearingly on your daily, eternal relationship with Him. Because whether you're on the mountain top or whether you're in the valleys, whether you're in the days of sunshine or the dark, gray, clouded days of rain, you know that in a relationship with God, all things work together for the good to them who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. And so, my friend, if you feel like you can't make it today and you want to give up, build an altar before you burn down the bridge. Sometimes people disappoint us, walk away from God, and we wonder if they'll ever find the threshold of truth again. It seems like they wander further away, entangled in more persuasive lies, marred in deeper pits of shame, devoured in mind and body by monstrous ideas and new rapacious theologies. At times, the more you pray for this individual, the more distant they seem to become. The more you voice love, the more hateful they act. The more you reach out a hand to help, the more they slap it away, turn away, and walk away. But don't burn down the bridge. Don't mark them off yet. Keep praying for a change, because you never know when somebody might have a prodigal moment. They get tired of living in the pig slop. They've had all of the fun with iniquity and rebellion and what they have termed a self-revolution, away from religion and Christian institutions and even away from home or parental disciplines and authority. But oh, that prodigal son got to missing it, and he knew that even if he was just a servant in his daddy's house, it would be better than living in the slop of a pig pen. So you never know, friend. Don't give up on that individual. We all have those moments when we think, well, I have prayed all I can pray about this situation. But I tell you today, we all need to be encouraged to pray one more time. You see, sometimes we don't know what may have caused somebody to come to the decision of life that they've made, or the crossroads where they made the wrong turn or went down the wrong path. Maybe it was sinful influence. Maybe it was political influence. And that's why the position of the church is better on its knees in prayer than standing on platforms of empty promises. Historically, Ahab and Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament were going to battle with Syria. 400 audacious prophets lined up and overconfidently declared victory in the coming battle with Syria. One in particular stole the stage, Zedekiah. He had constructed horns of iron, and he dramatically displayed how Israel would drive out the Syrians. It all sounded good. It was politically inspiring. It was militarily motivating. But it was all lies, expounded in pure deceptive performance. I mean, the curtains rolled back, the spotlight was on, the smoke was manufactured, but there was no glory of God near it. Jehoshaphat, on the other hand, he wanted to hear from a more reliable prophet, a man who had prayed to God. Micaiah was then brought into the court, and after a few rounds of confrontation with Ahab, who didn't like this prophet because he told the truth, Micaiah spoke dire projections of the battle to come. He would tell how Israel would be scattered like sheep without a shepherd, and with divine accuracy, Ahab would later fall in that battle from an arrow randomly drawn from an archer shooting by chance. We have many standing on platforms of promise, offering godless solutions and political formulas. They are backed by astrological prognosticators, secret societies, and sometimes even religious institutions. But just because 400 say it's so, doesn't make it so. Just ask Ahab of old. We need to hear from men and women of God who pray for our country and godly convictions, not pray on our fears with philosophies of darkness. Because, my friend, when people are in a dry and thirsty land, they'll almost believe anything, and then they're disappointed because it's merely a mirage. There's no water there. That's why we've got to have the Church of the Living God. We've got to have that apostolic formula of praying in the Spirit, because praying in the Spirit is hydration for the spiritual man. According to medical science, if you're not properly hydrated, your body cannot perform at its highest level. Spiritually, the Church cannot function at its highest level without the rivers of the Spirit. This is what Jesus alluded to when he said in John 7, "Out of your belly would flow rivers of living water." This was, of course, referring to a spiritual experience in the Holy Ghost. So to survive the desert dry conditions of powerless religions and empty politics, you need to know how to pray in the Spirit, building up your most holy faith, Jude 1:20. The spiritual fruit we long for cannot grow if we are not planted by the rivers of water, Psalm 1:3. As the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth or thirsteth my soul after the living God, Psalm 42:1. So my friend, don't go through the deserts of life without knowing where you can get that drink of the spiritual water that will keep you hydrated. When problems have you parched, when you feel like you're all alone, when you feel like your ability to resist the enemy is broken down, you can drink from that well of living water, that joy unspeakable and full of glory, and it'll give you the strength that you need to make it through the most stressful times. And that's why When you have insufficient funds of self-confidence due to past failures, remember, His grace is sufficient. So make a faith deposit in prayer and go again. If you remember in the Old Testament, Gideon wasn't sure that he had the leadership moxie to take 300 men into battle against a greatly outnumbering army of the Midianites. But God allowed him to hear a prophetic dream from the enemy's camp that ensured Gideon's victory against the odds. You see, when we face overwhelming, mountainous adversaries or situations, we may bend in fear at first glance. But when you remember how mighty God is, and you get connected to His power source through prayer, you begin to raise the gauge needle of confidence toward full, not because you suddenly discover your divinity, but because you rediscover His sovereignty. God is able. He's not weak. He's abundantly resourceful. And so prayer taps into God's inventory, and His weapons cache is replete with devil-defeating arsenal. That's why when you feel like everything is coming against you, when you feel like you've had maybe one tragic situation or traumatic situation happen after another, I want you to know that your private suffering can become a public testimony if you filter it through prayer. You remember the woman with the issue of blood in the New Testament? How she suffered privately for 12 years? She had no success with doctors and superstition peddlers, but she prayed on the day Jesus came to town and said if she could just touch the hem of His garment, she would get her miracle. And after Jesus felt the virtue siphoned from His body, He wanted to know who had touched Him. Bewildered disciples shrugged their shoulders because of the obvious crowd pressing towards Him. But after He explained the spiritual nature of the touch, the woman stepped forward with a victorious confession, to which Jesus responded with affirming words. So my friend, don't settle for earthly results when prayer can help you find the hem of His garment, where prayer can pull from the healing virtue of God. And knowing that you may be going through some lonely days, one day you're going to be able to stand among two or three, or maybe even an entire crowd, and let them know what power God has made evident in your life because of faith and prayer. And so, my friends, something else that we learn is they that wait on the Lord lose the spiritual weight that so easily besets the soul. So many of us are burdened with unnecessary pressures, pressures to be a certain way for unreasonable expectations of others, pressures of approval for some who try to appease a parent or a friend, pressures of power for some who feel like they need to be in control, whether in public or in private. And we carry around feelings about ourselves, bulky dumbbells of self-doubt, not-so-free weights of unrealistic wishes, hefty pounds of petty offenses, loads of self-loathing, tonnage of unresisted and unrestrained temptations. But you can be free, truly free from these weights. When Olympian runners of Paul's day ran for the glory of the gold, they wanted to be as light as possible. They wore featherweight clothing to benefit faster speeds. And so in this spiritual hour of so many kinds of emotional, physical, and mental weights, we need to cast aside the cumbersome, trivial causes that slow us down. We need to lay aside the religious indifferences that impede us as we try to find the pleasing path of righteousness for His name's sake. How much faster could we attain the goals of faith if we laid aside cynicism? How much quicker could we defeat our doubt-weaponized enemies if we stopped doubting ourselves? That's why we have to understand that humility is a key when we're talking about prayer. Pride, well, we know that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And a prideful man realizes his power and how others see him. But a prayerful man realizes his power and how others see Jesus in him. That's why a servant of the Lord on his knees will always achieve more eternally important objectives than the self-appointed, crowd-pleasing celebrities on their tiptoes wanting to be seen. It's humility that wins the day. It's humility that changes the atmosphere of defeat to one where God can operate. It is humility derived from sincere prayer that provides God a stage to do what only He can do. You can have pride like Goliath if you think you are incapable of being defeated, or you can have David humility, who doesn't represent himself, but the higher cause of God. For he said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." Goliath looked to himself to be the champion, but David looked to God. And the one no one thought could lose ended up on the ground, and the one no one expected to come out of the conflict alive ended up on the throne. John the Baptist was another who put the kingdom ahead of his own cause. In fact, his cause was to be a forerunner for a greater character, Jesus. "I must decrease that he might increase." Some of the most humbling words ever uttered, a lesson we all can glean from, understanding that God's position is more important than our position, that stepping aside from the intoxication of the spotlight to sacrifice the building popularity of ministry for the higher calling of Christ, this can only be accomplished when we pray from the depths of the soul and lose the contagious entitlement attitudes of the modern day church. I know it's easier said than done, but if we don't learn to say it, our true Christian cause may be done. It's a struggle, easier endured with much prayer. And that's why, with all that's going on in our world, spiritually, religiously, and even politically, we must understand that the church is not at its greatest when political, but when spiritual. Prayer conquers more than endless debate, and we can argue about governmental policies all day long. What needs to be done? Who needs to be voted for? How can we improve health care? How can we improve race relations? How can we create more jobs? How can we protect unborn life? All of these things are truly important, but if we only argue about these things as a church, then we become impotent, and our power is not first in winning the debate. It's in winning the spiritually debilitated. We must first be a church of prayer. Then we can attempt to tackle the other things. But prayer keeps us fundamentally sound. It keeps us from wandering into dangerous territories of becoming a party-driven, candidate-endorsing people who've lost the cutting edge of spirituality. Again, being passionate about political matters is not the problem. Being passionate about political matters and leaving prayer altars cold, prayer closets empty, and prayer time missed, that's the real problem. How can we change anything in this world if we don't incorporate our most effective weapon as a child of God? Prayer must keep us centered in truth so that we don't sell ourselves for popularity, power, or prestige. And my friend, there are a lot of things going on in this world that can make you feel dismantled in your belief, discouraged in what you're seeing, and make you want to just sit down and quit, just settle religiously where you are and not be driven any further by hunger to see more in God. That's why I want to tell you, if you're not seeing what you want today, walk a little farther in faith. Sometimes it takes vision, a little time to catch up with faith. And prayer is that bridge between vision and faith. And the more we talk to God about something, something that we feel, or something that we're seeing, something we're believing, the more we get His perspective. Because His ways are higher than our ways. He is not limited by hedges and sin hindrances. His vision is not blurred by self-blame, illusions of pride-driven ambitions, or vision-blocking failures of the past. His vision is pure, so our prayer taps into His vision. His vision is precise, so our prayer gives us more accuracy for what we're trying to accomplish. His vision is piercing, so our prayer helps us to see through earthly things with heavenly perception, things that may seem daunting because they are bigger than us, yet they are not bigger than Him, things that may seem disturbing because they are darkening forces, but His light sees all and is not intimidated by any forces of darkness. And finally today, I want to talk about how the flow of the river must not be hindered by the flaw of religion. You see, one has the power of God, and the other has the preference of man. Prayerlessness is like building a blockade or a dam in the middle of a stream and then complaining that there's no flow. The flow of God's presence breaks through walls in prayer. We cannot be what we need to be without His presence working in our lives. We cannot become what is spiritually and potentially possible from faith dimension to faith dimension without His flow in our lives. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, is what Jesus told us in John chapter 7. So we cannot settle for cistern religion and reservoir mentalities. The rivers of the Spirit need to flow in our lives without carnal hindrances and bitter blockades. When you have a reservoir mentality, you have something usually man-made. That means man decides the levels to which the water flows. That could be prejudicially motivated or activated by those who are satisfied with small quantities of the supernatural. But when you have the rivers of the Spirit which are God-made, God is in control of the governor. He opens the floodgates when the thirsty need revival and refreshing. He pushes the flow of His presence to barren places where forgotten seeds can be nourished and grow. My friend, you may feel today that success is too far from you and you can't seem to find it. But maybe if you just get back into a spirit of prayer the next few days and find that flow of the Holy Ghost, you'll find out that some of the things planted in your life, some of the promises spoken in your life, some of the prayers made in your life years ago can be refreshed and renewed, can be touched by the Spirit of God and the flow of His presence. And all of a sudden, it can evoke a new season of growth. Those things that seem to have been buried beneath the soils of your struggle, all of a sudden begins to push forth, and there's a growth moment, and there's a season of prosperity, my friend. So don't settle for self-persecution, and don't let the past dictate why you wouldn't pray again. My friend, if you've been disappointed with results from yesterday or in the past weeks, months, or years of your devotion to God, don't look at what's taken place in the past. Take a few more moments to pray again. This could be that moment that the breakthrough comes you've been looking for. Maybe it's in the next few services you attend at church, or maybe it's in those trips to the altar where you cry out to God. Lay those burdens down before the Lord and see that His mercy truly is everlasting and His truth endures to every generation. Get plugged in to that spiritual source of power that'll be there for you, because you know the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. His word is with you. It's still a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And when you begin to pray the word of God, when you begin to echo the word of God in those moments of desperation, it sheds a light on your path, and sometimes you're able to make decisions better, decisions about your home, decisions about your personal heart, decisions about things in your head that's got your thinking off. Whatever it might be today, dealing with your family, your finances, or your personal faith, God will step into that situation and He'll hear that prayer. So whatever it is today, my friend, pray about it again in Jesus' name.
No. where a newborn baby begins to cry. Oh, and somewhere an old patient gets a new life. Somewhere there's a blind man who opens his eyes. Oh, somewhere where you are, I can walk on a stormy night. I can live where there is no light. Travel the desert route.
Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.